Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week our podcast was recorded at our RAMP 2025 webinar. RAMP is our mentoring scheme for mid-career radio and audio professionals based in the UK who have a minimum of 5 years' experience and are looking to make a change or a significant step in their career. I did the very first RAMP mentor scheme back in 2022, and on the webinar I spoke to a panel of past mentees: BBC content editor Glyn Tansley, producer at Heart Scotland Andy Logue, and freelance producer Naomi Oyoku. We discussed the process of applying and what each of them gained from the experience. We were also joined by the 2025 head of judges, Adele Cross. But first, we heard from the RAMP lead, Fran Plowright, who outlined the scheme.
The programme is all about pairing you with a bespoke mentor who works in the industry. We're getting a steer from the applications about what you'd like, but ultimately we will, well, Adele and the judges will pull together what we hope is going to be a great combination for somebody to work with you over 6 months. I think for me, the very important point of mentors is it's somebody who is neither your line manager, nor a peer, nor your mother or best friend. So there's somebody who's there to support you as a critical friend, but they're not going to either tell you everything you do is brilliant, and they're also not line managing you, so it's not performative. So it's a really safe space to work with somebody and be really honest about where you're at. And I think the more honest you can be about this when you come in, the more you'll get out of the programme. And I'm sure that the panel will talk a lot more about that, because you're going to hear from people who have been on the programme. What it comprises, as you will have probably read, is that you'll get 6 months of what I hope is really quality programming. You'll get 6 one-to-one sessions with your mentor. You'll get a bit of an induction and training in terms of how best to get the most out of that. We have some in-person sessions, the induction, so you can get to know everybody. You'll be paired with a peer network, so we'll very carefully curate kind of you and the rest of the group, so that hopefully you'll get a lot out of each other as well and really be able to support each other. We will program some what I hope will be really interesting seminars and professional development sessions, which hopefully you will really enjoy. There will be some resources online to come back to and some notes, and also we'll be running some action learning sets. And if you don't know about what they are, it's about a space to come together and problem solve with a bit of coaching and steering thrown in. You bring the problem. In each set, there are a certain amount of problems that can be solved, and you use yourself and the room and your peers to support you on that process. I've run lots of mentoring programs, and I've done this for a long time, as well as other stuff around the audio, TV, podcasting and content creation industry, and both at sort of entry level, mid level and beyond. And I'm really excited to be working with you and hopefully supporting you on your journey. There will also be opportunity to get one-to-one support from me and ask questions as you go along the way. So what we hope you are doing is coming into a very welcoming and supportive community that will stand you in really good stead for whatever it is that you know you want to do, or by the end of the programme, know more about what you'd like to do with your next steps, and so that there are no barriers to hopefully doing that. And you have a cheerleader group of friends who you will carry along with you, and professional peers, which hopefully will be there forever for the rest of your careers. So I'll stop and I'm going to hand to Adele. Thank you.
Thank you, Fran. Adele, our head of judges for 2025, just tell us a little bit about the judging process.
So essentially, I'm here to make sure that the process is transparent and it's clear, and it's also going to be thorough. So what I would say is, when you apply, be fully honest with yourself as with us. So if you are ambitious, if you are creative, if you have even some insecurities and some worries, be honest with yourself and kind of put it all out there, because this is where we will then find out how you work, what makes you tick, and how we can make things work for you. The nuts and bolts of the judging process is that basically we will make sure that at least three people will have different people will have seen your application or interviewed you at any time during the process. So there won't be any opportunity, hopefully, for any bias or any problems in that respect. We'll make sure that it's clear, make sure that it's honest. And also, I know we all say this, but make sure it's fun. So I'd suggest, if you can, come to this with creativity, come with an open mind. It might be that we'll match you with someone, if you're successful, that you wouldn't even have thought of, but there'll be some kind of method to our madness. And I'll say the third thing is, again, you will have such a network of people that can support you and encourage you and sort of say, oh, don't try this or try that. And we're here as judges to make sure that process works, and we'll make sure we're here as the RAMP Academy to make sure that you're supported in every way.
So we've got Glyn Tansley, who is a BBC content editor, and he is from the 2020 2022 cohort that I was on. We've got Andy Logue, who is a producer at Heart Scotland. Andy is from the 2023 cohort. And Naomi OEQ, who is from the 2024 cohort, and she is a freelance producer. So I'd like to start with asking you all to tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your own personal experience of RAMP. We'll go chronologically by date. We'll start with Glyn from 2022, please.
Thanks, Georgie. So I am, as Georgie says, I'm a content editor right now for BBC Audio. When I joined RAMP, I was a producer. I was working on various podcasts. I was working on various programs for Radio 4 and for the World Service. And I guess for me, I wanted to take the kind of next step in my career, I suppose. I'd been a producer and a senior journalist at the BBC for about 10 years or so. And I was really keen to do more and to basically to become an editor and kind of figure out how to take that step and to become a kind of leader within the organization. Yeah, so that's what I was aiming to get out of RAMP. I'm now a content editor, so I guess that is somewhat successful. But I found the process really, really helpful. I had a mentor who was at News UK, and we had, I think, about 7 or 8 sessions over the course of about 6 months. It was really, really good. Really, really great experience.
Thank you, Glyn. Let's go to Andy now.
I'm Andy Logue. I work for Heart Scotland within Global in Glasgow. And yeah, I did, like Georgie said, I did RAMP in 2023. Really, it was at a time when I was working with a radio station called MFR within the Bauer Media Network in Scotland as well. I had moved into like a sort of middle management thing, but also there was a lot of changes that happened at the Bauer at the time. So my role went from executive producer to a breakfast producer. And there was a lot of changes within sort of my lifestyle. I was going through a lot of different things. I was living in a city I'd never been living in before, moved away from a lot of friends, a lot of family. Moving when you're within the industry you're working in, when you're really close to a lot of people, can be difficult. And for me, it was. And I found that RAMP helped me to kind of not only overcome some personal conflicts within myself, but also helped me to utilize my skills that I was overlooking. Essentially, in a radio environment, I always looked down on myself and never thought I was actually as good as the people around me. I was working with and still do work with so many talented people. And it took me a long time to realize, like, I've worked in radio for 13 years. I mean, I must have some sort of skill value and skill level to bring to the table. And Adele really helped bring that out of me and helped me just look at myself and be like, you're good at what you do. You wouldn't be here if you weren't anyways. And that was something I found really helpful. RAMP gave me a great support network. It is hard work. I found that working commercial radio, so much is changing on a daily basis. So what you have to do is make sure you work around it. What you put into it, you just get so much more out of it.
Thank you, Andy. Naomi, let's come to you. 2024. Let's find a little bit out about you.
I'm Naomi Oiku. I'm currently a freelance radio and podcast producer, but my previous experience, I sort of got into the industry through student radio. So I was the chair of the Student Radio Association for 3 years. I was also a trustee of the Radio Academy. And then coming into the industry, I was an assistant producer at Virgin Radio and then joined something else, built myself way up from assistant producer to junior producer to producer. So that was over a 4-year period. And then last year in November, I became freelance and RAMP sort of came at the right time. So for me, like not last year, the year before, I was kind of contemplating applying for RAMP, but sort of held off for a year. But I think last year was sort of like the right time for me to sort of put myself forward and sort of get that support. With the program itself, I learned so much. I think it was really positive having the cohort with you as well and sort of going on that journey with you as well as having a mentor. Having those 6 sessions were really good because with me and Adam, we actually went past the 6-month period because as you can imagine, things can get busy, but it was quite positive in terms of the meetings that we had. When I applied for the program, so they sort of ask you in the application what you want to get out of the program, which is really useful. So you sort of list like session 1, I wanted to focus on like leadership. Another session was like networking as well. So as a mentee, you sort of work with your mentor, but you sort of put the work in terms of what you want to get out of the program itself. In terms of personal personal experiences. As I mentioned, had a really positive sort of cohort. We had like a WhatsApp group as well, which was really good. And so that sort of community that we had, and like any question, no matter how big or small, we all felt comfortable to sort of ask each other because we're all sort of navigating the industry.
It's interesting. You've mentioned it as well. I think, and I know Glyn feels the same. Andy mentioned it too. And it's on my notes here, putting the time in, you only get out of ramp as much as you put in. And it's interesting that you've both said that. And I think that's something that is really important. If you don't put the effort in, then you won't get as much out of the scheme. So you need to be prepared to be committed if you're going to apply. Naomi, I mean, you were at a particular crossroads, weren't you? And that's often a great point for ramp.
No, definitely. And I feel like with the ramp scheme, we did mention obviously it's putting that time in. But then I also think like having that sort of professional advice and that peer-to-peer support, it's kind of like making yourself vulnerable in terms of what you want to get out of the scheme. I think for me, I kind of learned new skills, how to develop in the industry, but then also having that self-confidence. And I think with ramp, it's really good because the application is for people sort of midway through their career, because you sort of see mentoring programs that are focused on people just sort of starting off. So I think with ramp, it's so good and so important that you're recognizing that people do need support halfway through their career and they want to go in a different direction.
Glyn, you were in the same cohort with me. Tell us about your thoughts on that peer support network and how we looked after each other.
And continue to, I think, as well. You know, the WhatsApp group is still active. And as the guys say, we're, you know, helping you kind of tackle the challenges you kind of face. Somebody before mentioned the kind of action learning sets, which are really helpful in terms of tackling specific problems and getting other people's perspectives or kind of challenging you and having your peers kind of challenge you on decisions you've got to make, which is really, really helpful. I think that from talking to other people, you know, it's great to be able to talk to people now. And when I'm in London, I'm frequently see various people who we were in a cohort with around the building or around the city, which is really, really nice and really helpful. I know that opportunities have come from that. You know, people have collaborated together on various projects and have gone on to kind of work with each other and things. So it's great to have that supportive network through the process and beyond, I would say. And it was lovely to see everybody at the Radio Academy Festival recently. Yeah. So we gravitated towards each other and
we did, didn't we? Yeah. Out,
which was very nice.
I think it's a real testament to the scheme that coming up to 3 years on, our group, we do still check in with each other and, like you say, put work each other's way or opportunities or, you know, message each other and or meet up. Andy, how about for you with the peer support network? I mean, you've talked a bit about that. Was there anyone nearby to you? Did you meet up in real life?
No, I was maybe about 300 miles away from everyone. So living
but
in
did you still feel supported?
Even though, like, there might be people who apply and, you know, you might be on the Orkney Isles or something, like, or you might be on the Isle of Man, which we did. We had someone from Isle of Man on our program too. And even though I was so far away from everyone, it was still there. Yeah, even though I was 300 miles away from everyone, it didn't feel like that. You could still pick up the phone, check in the WhatsApp. People were turning up weekly for the seminars and that. So you felt like it was just a really good group of folk who were really supportive. If you feel as though you live in the middle of nowhere, and if you feel as though you're not part of the London media landscape, there are still people up north and, you know, maybe down Cornwall and different areas of England. And just because you're in the middle of nowhere doesn't mean you can't take advantage of ramp, yeah, the brilliant program and the amazing people that you meet.
And I think that network grows as time goes on. Naomi, you've just graduated from ramp, so tell me about 2024, because that's still quite a new cohort. Do you all keep in touch? You know, how is your peer support network? How did you find that part of ramp for you?
I found it really positive. Like, I enjoyed meeting new people in the industry, networking with them. And I think with a lot of jobs, sometimes they are London based, but I feel like with ramp, it's quite inclusive and accessible to anyone in the country. So if you are a bit worried and thinking, oh, I can't get down to London because I'm far away, as Andy has just mentioned, like, you can literally apply no matter where you are. So don't feel afraid to sort of apply if you're not based in London, because I think ramp's so good because there's sessions that are remote. They're all recorded if you can't make it, because obviously sometimes you can be busy, but there's also the opportunity to be able to meet in person as well. And I think the Radio Academy have been so supportive, especially as a freelancer, that they were really supportive with me in terms of even travel expenses. Even though that ramp program is 6 months, utilize those 6 months, get as much out of it, but then also after that, you've got those sort of friends for life, you've networked within the industry, and it's been really positive.
I want to talk a bit about mentor matching now. And Naomi, particularly, I know you've got some interesting insights on this. I think you were somewhat surprised by your mentor to start with.
When you're applying, I would say be as honest as possible in terms of what you want out of the mentoring scheme. They asked me who I would ideally want to be paired up with. And in terms of career progression, I want to progress in a more senior role and be influential to women of colour within the industry and sort of be that role model. And I've got a lot of role models that I have, Adele Cross being one of them. So Andy, you're really lucky to sort of have that support from Adele, and Lorna as well, who works at the BBC. When I completed my application, I put Adele Cross, I put Nikki Logan. They're all women of colour who I strive to be and I want to be as successful as them. So I got the email saying that I was successful and made it onto the programme this year. I got paired with Adam. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, it was a different pairing. I was a bit like, oh, and the Radio Academy have asked me who I'd ideally want to be paired with. And I got paired with Adam. Adam's brilliant. He's been brilliant. I've loved every sort of moment with him and working closely with him. Yeah, I just didn't know what to do. But I kind of reached out to Aradhana. Aradhana's so honest, so open. So I reached out to her and I said, can we arrange a call? And I sort of asked her about the pairing. So if you are paired with anyone and you are not concerned, but you do have questions, then honestly, the Radio Academy are very open in terms of having that communication and talking to you.
Glyn, it's about trusting the process, isn't it? I mean, when we did it, there was no one before us, so there was nothing really to benchmark against, was there?
That thing of kind of the people you wouldn't usually connect with, I think that's a really good phrase and really helpful, I think, for framing RAMP. Actually, it's one of the big appeals to me is that it's pan-industry, and so you end up certainly being, you know, working in the BBC, you meet a lot of BBC people, and you kind of get quite kind of in the world of the BBC and the way that the BBC does things. And it is incredibly helpful, I think, to kind of break out of that a little bit and see how other organizations arrange themselves, how they do things. You can kind of, you know, you get kind of challenged on, well, why don't you do it this way and why don't you do it that way? And I found that really, really helpful.
At the time, I was working at BBC Local. And so I was just in a kind of BBC bubble, and that was the only part of the radio industry I'd worked in. And I had my eyes really open to what was out there in terms of like independent production companies. And I've now made some great connections with people and companies I didn't know existed. It was really quite awakening for me in terms of, wow, there is so much out there within the audio industry. I wanted to talk about these action learning sets. We've mentioned that expression a couple of times. And I know that Fran and Adele, when it comes to interviews and application processes and so forth, will explain a bit more and in more detail about what that is. But it's quite a different and powerful way of learning about yourself if you've never done it before. What is an action learning set?
We all jumped onto a call around lunchtime or something during the week, and it would be one person came up and said, right, this is what I have to do this week and I'm having trouble X, Y, and Z. Any help would be much appreciated. It was a safe space to discuss issues, conflicts, things that were happening within that moment in time where you could have honest and open discussions, and super beneficial to the people who put problems forward.
Did you find them beneficial, Glyn?
Yeah, so yeah, because I did take a problem to one of those action learning sets, and it was, as you say, it was a safe space. I mean, the main thing is...
I remember that, and I shall take it to my grave because we all pledged, didn't we?
It's a coaching technique, basically. So it's the idea is that you ask the cohort, ask you questions. As the person with the problem, they ask you kind of questions about it, and they don't really bring their own opinions. So it's kind of about challenging yourself and finding the answer for yourself in that problem. And it was incredibly helpful. I have a coach these days, actually. So it's a very sort of similar technique where it's just kind of constantly kind of challenging and thinking about it, thinking about that as a problem and approaching it in a really different way. Yeah, I find it really, really helpful.
Naomi, how about for you and your cohort, the action learning sets? Was that a Was that something new to you as a learning technique?
Yeah, it was something new to me. And I think it was really good because you had the cohort and the cohort were quite big, but we got split into different groups. And I think that was really useful having that small group, as Glyn said, like challenging each other, but then making you sort of think differently how you would approach something. And so you sort of had like the facilitator that would facilitate that session, someone that would come with a problem. And then we just sort of sat and sort of listened to that. And then after that person came forward, we then sort of asked questions and kind of made them think a bit differently. But as you said, Georgie, like it was a confidential sort of session. It was a safe space. You're able to take any problem, but you don't have to have a problem. But then at the same time, you're still learning from how people would deal with things and certain situations. So yeah, I found it really useful. And it was good to have that small sort of group as opposed to having that big group, because it can be really overwhelming. So I think it was really good that it got split into smaller groups.
Thank you to our panel, Glyn, Andy and Naomi, and also to Fran and Adele for their insights too. Applications for the RAMP scheme are open now and close on the 7th of November. You'll find all the details and the application form on our website, radioacademy.org/mentoring. You can also watch the full webinar, including the Q&A, which was at the end of the session, on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@theradioacademy. Please give us a like and maybe even a review wherever you get your pods, and hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. We really appreciate it. Next week, we're talking about how podcasts have tackled the run-up to the US election. I'll see you next week.